This CKNW podcast is brought to you by Destination Toyota in Burnaby, BC's number one Toyota dealer for the sales purchase experience.
Hey, and welcome to this week's show. It's good to have you along. Hopefully you're having a good weekend. You're more than welcome to jump on the phone line early, and I always stress that because there's people left every single week at the end of the show that can't get on. So the smart ones, and I know you're smart. If you have any questions, automotive, you're more than welcome to call at 1-877-399-9898 and 604-280-9898. And you are smart. You know why? Because I always learn something every single week. There's somebody calls with something I don't know the answer to, and we work it out together, or they suggest something, so it's always great to have your feedback. We do have one person on the phone board already, and we'll get to Bill in just a second. One of the things I want to bring up is just how quickly the automotive world changes and how many new and updated and refreshed cars are coming all the time. And the reason I bring that up is that's when you save money. If you're somebody that's motivated by the newest and the latest and the greatest, then you're always going to pay slightly more or maybe a lot more than somebody that's willing to wait and get a good deal. The newest and the latest, typically there aren't discounts on those cars. There aren't the low finance rates that you typically get, like the 0% interest or the 1.9% interest. And there's more demand for these vehicles. So the dealers don't discount them on a personal level. Like the dealer themselves don't discount the cars either. If they've got somebody who's willing to pay full freight for the car, they sell it to that person. But what happens when a car is getting on in its life cycle? Cars these days are changed every 4 years typically. Some manufacturers, like the German manufacturers, wait every 7 years. So there are some new models coming this year, and if you're somebody that's motivated not by the latest and the greatest and the newest, but by getting a deal, this is when you strike, because when new cars are just about to be introduced, brand new models, like a totally refreshed version of a car, the existing one is usually heavily discounted. That's when they put the 0% interest. That's when they put the $2,000-$3,000 rebate on. Then the dealer themselves are willing to put a discount on there. We're going to speak with Rick Balkin from NewCarSellOff.com in the second half of the show, and he's got a whole business built around this and dealers trying to get rid of inventory that they want to move, and they put a huge discount on these cars. I'm just going to run through a few names that are coming up this year. So these are new models that are coming, the existing models that are sitting on dealers' lots. Hey, and you're listening to the radio. How many times have you heard this radio ad? We've got to make room. The 2013s are coming. The 2012s have got to go. Big discounts. Those are the sorts of ads that surround these, and you often see full-page ads in the paper about this as well. So the Nissan Altima is arriving any time now. The Nissan Altima is one of the best-selling midsize cars in North America, and there's a brand-new model coming. You want to get the older one, save a few bucks, it's still a great car. Lexus ES, I'm driving next week, the brand-new Lexus ES in Oregon. I'm leaving tomorrow, but I'll have somebody on here next week on this radio show talking about the new product. But hey, if you're looking for a great midsize, almost full-size luxury car, and you want to save a few bucks, the Lexus ES is going to be on sale. There's a new Honda Accord coming this fall. Haven't driven that car yet. It's going to be later, September, October. The Hyundai Elantra Touring, this is the Hyundai Elantra station wagon. The new GT model is coming in right now, so there are deals to be had on the Hyundai Elantra Touring, which is a great car. The Chevy Traverse, the Buick Enclave, and the GMC Acadia are all being refreshed this year, so when they arrive this fall, the other ones, the 2012s, will be on sale. There's an all-new Ford Escape about to arrive any day now in the next, you know, 3-4 weeks. And that vehicle has been the best-selling crossover in Canada, the 2012s. I drove by a dealer lot the other day, and there's a big placard outside saying that the current model is on sale. The Ford Fusion is coming this fall, so that means the 2012 Fusion. The Fusion is the best-selling midsize car in Canada. That one will be on sale because they're going to be making room for it. Other vehicles, the Acura RDX is arriving right now. They're on dealers, so any 2012 RDXs, they're going to have to discount those. Same for the Toyota Avalon and the Volkswagen Golf this fall will be all new. So the Volkswagen Golf, they should have some kind of discount. Those are just some of the examples I just typed out here before we went to air. So that's where you save the most money, is when a new model is just about to be introduced. Open phones, as I mentioned, you can call 1-877-399-9898 and 604-280-9898. As I mentioned, Bill's hanging on there. Bill, you're first. Go ahead. What's up?
I just totally blind car guy. I've been interested in cars since I was 5 years old. Kind of unusual for a person that can't see.
I remember you called a couple of years ago, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. I think I called a couple months ago as well.
Yeah. So, Bill, you have no sight at all?
No.
And this was the way you were born?
Yes.
Okay. So what got you into, was it the sound of the cars? Did you run your hands over them? What did you do?
Born in Kelowna, and I used to go. Always been fascinated with cars. I'm not really sure why, and I just always been interested in them. And one time, my dad always used to try and fool me, and we walked up to on the Black Ball Ferries a long time ago, and I touched the car. I said, "That's a Rolls Royce." And I always used to like when I went shopping with my mother. I used to always like to find out what the cars were. I touched a fender. You know, I have different ways of telling what the cars were, whether it be a door handle or a headliner, a Volkswagen Beetle, say. Maybe it was, you know, just different little things.
The sound?
Well, sometimes, but...
Because you know what, I walk my dog, and I hear a car coming behind me, and I try to guess what it is just by the sound, and then when it drives by, you know, some cars have distinct sounds, like Volkswagens, the old Beetles used to,
well,
of course.
Absolutely, yeah. And but yeah, I've just always been interested in cars, and I just wanted to phone in. Thank you for the interesting show. I really enjoy listening to it every week, and find you very interesting, and just wanted to phone and say hi.
Well, that's very nice of you, Bill. That's cool. So what's your preferred car to be driven around in? Taxi?
Well, I kind of, probably my favorites, used to have a Volkswagen van way back when, my younger days. And
I had two, I own one now. I've got a Volkswagen, not an old one. I had two of those ones, but I've got a Vanagon, which is from the 80s.
Yeah, mine was older than that, and, I heard you talking about Van Wonder last week, and there was a fellow that used to own it on Lonsdale there in North End. I think his name was Otto. Used to, that's going like back in the 70s. And,
right.
Might be, you know, maybe it's the same place. I don't know.
So do you, for somebody who has no vision, do you have, a reading, I don't know, so you tell me, like, do you read car reviews? Like, do you get them read to you? Do you use Braille?
I just listen to you, and then sometimes if I hear stuff on TV, I'll listen to it or whatever, but, I like shows like, what the heck is it, Barry Jackson auction. Very interesting hearing about stuff like that. And I just, I've just always been a car guy.
So you must be the guy that everybody goes to and asks questions. Like I always say in a family, there's an aunt or an uncle or somebody that's the car guy in the family that always gives everybody in the family advice.
Yeah, what I used to do when I was younger, when people got cars, they'd take me for a ride, and I'd find the rattles for them, rattles under there, and that's what I used to do.
That's a great resource, I tell you, because that's the most frustrating thing, chasing electrical problems and trying to find a rattle.
You betcha.
Okay, Bill, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good day.
Have a great summer. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, we go next to Levine. Hey, Levine.
Hello.
How are you?
Great. How about you?
I have no complaints. It's a great weekend.
Isn't it? It's fabulous.
So what's your question?
My question is for my son. He's not able to call, so he is looking to buy a new vehicle, and he sort of likes a Mitsubishi RVR, but he says that they have a 10-year warranty, and they have good, really good gas mileage, but he says he doesn't see a lot driving around, so he's wondering, is there a reason for that?
Well, I tell you what, I hate to throw a car under the bus, but I'm not a fan of that car.
Okay.
And the reason is that the only real problem with that car is that it has what's called a continuously variable transmission, right? And this transmission, now, that being said, if he drives manual, I think the base model you can get with the manual transmission. But this transmission is used extensively. Chrysler uses it in their Jeep Compass and Patriot. Mitsubishi uses it, and other companies use continuously variable transmission, Nissan extensively. And what they do is how they tune it and how they make it perform is different depending on which company utilizes the different kinds of transmission. And this is the one thing that I find that really drags this particular vehicle down. Yes, it's got a great warranty. It's a nice size. It's kind of cute looking. And this is where I'm getting to. On paper, it says that it achieves great mileage. But in real-world driving, it it isn't as fantastic because you have to use a lot more gas to get this thing to go because of this particular transmission. Now, if he drives it and he likes it, there's nothing wrong with it. It'll do the job for him. But don't go in there thinking you're going to get superstar mileage out of it, because in my experience driving it and talking to other auto journalists about this particular car, they found the same thing. Is because it doesn't have a big engine. It has this continuously variable transmission. And so you have to use more fuel to get it to go.
Okay.
Because you remember when they do these tests, right? And it's not the car company's fault. I say this over and over and over. I've had one fellow been emailing me extensively complaining about his Kia Sportage, and it's not delivering the mileage that Kia claims. And I said, well, hold the fort there. It's not Kia's fault. It's the test that the government makes all the car manufacturers do. It's not realistic. It is not. You have a very, very hard time getting even close to the posted mileage unless you drive so conservatively. And I would guess your son is a young guy who doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to putt around like a 95-year-old, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a very attractive package and pricing, and especially that long-term warranty. But there are other great products out there as well.
Can you just name me a few that you would recommend?
I would suggest that he has a look at the new Mazda CX-5. I would heavily recommend the I think the best all-rounder is the Honda CR-V. I think the CR-V delivers on so many different levels. It's brand new this year. It's got a much improved interior. It's tried and true engine and transmission, and it does everything very well. It's smooth and quiet, and they did a really nice job on that vehicle.
Okay, what about the Toyota RAV?
The RAV4 is getting on in its life cycle, so yes, there's nothing wrong with the RAV4 at all, but it's going to be refreshed, and I would think it's going to be next year. I've been asking them at Toyota, but they're not giving me any hints, but it's coming to that time. It usually fell a year behind the CR-V, so that's probably when it's going to be coming out.
Okay.
The other one, the Hyundai Tucson is one of my favorites as well. Hyundai Tucson.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye now.
You know what? In my review, you can go onto my website, motormouth.ca, and read the review I did of the Mitsubishi RVR. And in many levels, it does deliver, right? I just find that it doesn't deliver the mileage as posted because I think it's underpowered, and I think the transmission should be utilized differently. But that's my opinion. That's my job. All right, we're going to check in with Mark Bergevin in a second from Odessa. More of your calls for the remainder of the show. 1-877-399-9898 and 604-280-9898. Next on Driving. And welcome back to the show. Each week, Mark Bergevin from Odessa Richmond Public Auction joins us on the phone. That's the voice you hear there. And what car went across the auction block and gave you a good news story? What's the story this week, Mark?
The good news story this week, Zach, is a 2008 Chevy Aveo, a black little four-door car, 45,000 kilometers on it. Anyway, the customer heard about us on the radio once again. They heard actually the collector car auction stuff that we had talked about a few weeks ago. And brought the car, and they thought it'd be fun to give it a try. Put the car in the auction for, the appraisal came in at $4,700, and the car sold for $5,200. So off the customer goes. They're happy, quick sale, and everything worked as it's supposed to in that manner.
Yeah, I guess a little car like that with, hey, listen, I put gas in my car the other day. It was $1.55 a liter. So a little car like that might be sought after these days.
Yeah, that's an exciting little car. Good year, 2008, and a four-door, so a family-type car, you know, automatic. Great for, great for a runabout around town.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Zach.
All right, back to the phone board we go, and we say hello to Bill. Hey, Bill. Bill, are you there? All right, I'm going to put Bill on hold, and we'll go next to Chris. Chris, are you there?
Hello there. How's it going there?
Good, good.
Very excellent. Thank you so much for taking my call there. I was just curious there. I keep hearing rumors and I'm reading things on the internet in regards to the Jeep Gotti or the Jeep pickup truck. Have you heard anything when that's coming out?
No. It's funny. I just saw that you were going to be asking about that, and I don't know a lot about it.
Oh, okay.
There are reports that, yes, it'll be coming at the end of this year as a 2013 model. And that it's going to be built on the Durango Jeep Grand Cherokee platform.
Okay.
So the Gladiator, for those that don't know, is a concept that they had. It's like a pickup truck Jeep. And I think it would sell well. You know why? Because, excuse me, there are not many mid-sized pickup trucks anymore.
No, or small pickup trucks. And I mean, it goes back to the, like, the what was that, the Jeep Scrambler. I think it just looks great there. But any idea? I guess you said you already don't have much information about the powertrain. I heard it's going to be a diesel. Any idea about that? Or?
I don't think it's going to be a diesel.
Okay.
I would almost bet the bank on that. It could be. It could be. Yeah, I don't know. But the thing is, they've got to source that diesel from somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that they're going to be able to get a diesel from Mercedes anymore like they used to.
Okay.
So it's probably going to be from the Fiat family, and they have plenty of diesels in their lineup, but getting it certified to bring it into North America. But I think it would do them well eventually to do that because, you know, think about how many Grand Cherokees they sell.
Yeah.
Think about how many Grand Cherokees they could sell if there was a diesel, right? Especially in Canada. Not so much in the States. Interesting you bring that up because I was just on a Mercedes trip last week. I had an interview with one of the engineers of the GLK, their compact that's now available as a diesel.
Yep.
And he said, you know, Canadians, we look from Germany as more European-minded. You know, you've got one step towards Europe, and the Americans are still stuck with the same sort of ideals when it comes to cars. They like gasoline, and I think a lot of it comes to do with the price of fuel in Canada. It's expensive to run a car. So about, if, for example, with Mercedes-Benz, because they have one of the largest fleets of diesels in Canada now, 70% of people that go into a dealer to choose will choose the diesel over the gas.
Yeah, no, I'm not 100% sold on the whole hybrid thing there yet, you know, I get a really efficient little four-cylinder turbo diesel. I know the emissions are different between here and, you know more than me, here in Europe.
Yep.
I think it'd be absolutely fantastic. I mean, like you mentioned just 2 minutes ago, $1.55 a liter in some places across Canada, and yeah.
It's not cheap. Yeah, and the other thing is in the United States, just for a reference, so we're around 70-80% for those vehicles. In the U.S., it's about 20-25%. So they haven't made that jump yet.
Yeah.
And this was always funny when you watch the news, when you watch, you know, CNN or whatever, and they have these stories. Well, what do you think about the price of gas? And the person's at the pump filling up for $4, and you're like, I wish we could pay $4 for a gallon of gas.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just ridiculous. They're spoiled, and they don't realize it. You know, I'm going to Europe this summer, so I'm going to take a deep breath when I fill up the car I rent.
What's the cost there?
I don't know, but the thing is, well, it depends if it's in euros or if it's in pounds sterling, right?
Yeah.
So roughly whenever I go to the UK, it's roughly the same price, but in pounds. Yeah.
Okay.
So
well, good luck and have fun. Make sure you got room on your car there.
Okay. Yeah. Right, I'm working on that before I go. I appreciate that. Yeah. If you want to go on to motormouth.ca and you click on the Mercedes GLK, there's a video there I just put together this week. It's just gone up live. So you can watch the video on the new GLK, the new turbo diesel, as this last caller mentioned, a four-cylinder turbo diesel. The only other one that is capable of going into a larger vehicle is the Volkswagen engine they use in the Passat, could be used in a bigger vehicle. And I just want to say, Bob, are you there now? Bob, are you there now?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, we had a bit of trouble with your line,
yep.
And I'm coming up to a commercial break here. Are you willing to hang on a little longer? Because I will get to you.
No, okay. No.
How's that? You can't go now that I've said you're going to be next.
That's right. Thanks a lot.
Okay, I'll be right back to you.
Okay.
All right, so that is, I think I've locked that. There we go. That's Bob, and we're going to find out what he wants to know and take your calls for the remainder of the show. We'll continue next on Driving. Hey, and welcome back to the show. I just want to, as I referenced earlier before the break, motormouth.ca, a brand new video I just put up there on the 2013 Mercedes GLK with the new diesel engine that will be coming, the new GLK will be arriving this summer with the gas. Excuse me, the diesel will be arriving late in the year, maybe the beginning of January. Also on there is the a review of the Dodge Dart, which is arriving in the next few weeks, which was surprisingly good. The Ford F-150 EcoBoost, there's a review on there. Also a video review of the Buick Verano, which I was really surprised about. It's just how good the Verano is. The Ford Escape, that's coming any day now. Volkswagen Passat review is on there. And also there's a very cool video when I was at the Mercedes event. Excuse me, frog in my throat. When I was at the Mercedes event in France, to review the GLK, they had the G-Class. That's the G-Wagon, the old big boxy truck that's uber expensive. But they had this thing called the Iron Shockle, which is this thing that you drive over, this big thing that pops out of a back of a trailer. and it's meant to display the certain angles and things that you can drive this G-Class over. So there's a video of that on there as well. It's all at motormouth.ca when you get a second. Now, Bob, you've been very patient. You've waited through the break. What's your question?
I'd like to get your opinion. I've looked at the Volkswagen Passat, the TDI, and
yep.
Also the Sonata Turbo Limited with NAV.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Volkswagen, taxes in were almost $42,000, and without tax, the Sonata was $36,300. What would be your choice between the two? Like, I'm looking for a decent mileage as well, and I know the Passat would do that.
Well, it would be the winner for sure when you just look at mileage. Now, you don't have to spend all that money on the Passat. You're getting the full load, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah.
You want it fully loaded. Okay, so then you've got to, yeah, you got to shoot for the stars. here's the good thing about the Passat is the resale value of those diesels is so strong.
Mm-hmm.
Because anybody like you that's shopping for a car that's going to gain great efficiency is going to pay a slight premium to get diesel in many instances. And they have proven to be very, not so much the Passats because they haven't had a diesel for a while, but the Golf and the Jetta, those in the resale market do very, very well. The Sonata is all about performance, right? It is a super quick car, and it is a whole lot of fun to drive, and it uses regular gas, which is uncommon with turbocharged four-cylinder engines. So if you're looking for pace, then you want to go with the Sonata. If you're looking for grace, a big car, lots of comfort, very roomy, and excellent mileage, then the TDI would be the way to go.
All righty, because with the gas prices, you know, $1.50 a liter, you sure don't want anything that runs on premium fuel.
No, the Sonata runs on regular gas.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, which is good. You know, it really comes down to your style. What do you really want? You're sort of telling me you want fuel economy, though that wins the fuel economy battle of the two. Now, it all comes down to how you drive the Sonata. If you're somebody that's always got the turbo going, you know, and getting the maximum power out of it, then you're going to use more fuel. If you drive it lightly and easily, well, then you just might as well get the regular Sonata.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the regular Sonata gives great mileage. The direct injection four-cylinder engine, almost 200 horsepower. And, you know, that's a great motor.
Okay, very good. I appreciate that.
Anytime.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks for waiting.
Okay, bye.
All right, we go to Leslie next. Hey, Leslie.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
Good, thank you. I have a 17-year-old son who is looking to buy his first car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have limited his choices in that his budget is $2,500. He's going for an automatic, and mm-hmm. we'd like to keep it in the local area where we live, simply because we have a mechanic friend that will come and check out the car after we've checked it out.
Oh, you're so smart. I love this. This is so great.
Now,
you take it, you know, you're somebody that actually listens. Get the car inspected before you buy, especially a car for $2,500.
Absolutely. You know. And, you know, this is his hard work earned money on his part-time job. He wants to make a good choice, right?
Yeah,
and not,
that's great.
We're trying to teach him not to do it by emotion and rims.
Yeah, and the stereo.
Yes, that's right. So my question is, we've looked in Craigslist, we've checked Auto Trader, the local classifieds, we drive around looking for for sale signs on little cars.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any pointers or tips of where else we could look with those limitations?
Well, you might have heard before the break, we had Mark Bergevin on from Odessa Public Auction.
Yes.
You can go and bid on a car, and what I suggest you do is go and watch how it all happens, because it's, you know, in the ads I say, you know, you sell a car every 60 seconds. I've seen the auction in action, and it's impressive because it's so quick. They put a car up on there and people are bidding on it, and it's sold like in 60 seconds. It's gone. So what I suggest is maybe, and it's fun to go to. I mean, it's a real experience, and to see how it all happens, and it's entertaining. So I would suggest you go just for fun on a Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And check it out and see how it all works. And your son can see the caliber of the cars, and he's got $2,500 in his pocket. You know, he might get a great deal on a car. And the thing is, they have there the ability to do inspections on cars. as
oh,
well.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe your friend could come down and have a look. And you obviously can't put it up on a hoist and jack it up and have a look at it, but you can get a good idea. And so there are some ways to make sure that you're getting a car inspected. And you can talk to them about that when you go down there. But it's worthwhile going to see how it works. And don't go and buy the first day because it's so quick. You have to watch and ask. They have a class at the beginning to tell people how it works. They have different lights that go on depending on what the condition of the car is. So go, it's an idea, you know, it's a kind of a fun day to go and watch and see how it all works. Ask lots of questions. The people are all there to help you.
Right.
And then maybe go back another week and...
with the mechanic.
Or you can, you know, ask them how you can get a specific car you're interested in inspected. And the other thing is that you can also, you know, look at the cars online before you go, right?
Okay.
And see what's coming up on the auction.
Okay.
So if he's got $2,500, you can have a look and see what kind of cars you might be looking at. If it was me and I was going to put my son into a car that is probably going to be 10 plus years old, right?
I would
automatically go right to vehicles like a Honda Civic and the Toyota Corolla because they have proven over many decades to be uber reliable. Granted, you still have to do your due diligence like you're going to do and get it inspected, but those are the kinds of cars that will do 200,000-400,000 kilometers without any fuss.
Awesome.
Okay?
Thank you so much.
Anytime.
That helps a lot. Okay.
All right. And I'm glad that you're taking you're helping them out because if it was me and I was 17, I'd just go and buy the first. I did bought the first car I saw.
Well, he almost did. And then we brought the mechanic for the second viewing and the little test. And the mechanic said, keep shopping.
Yeah, that's good.
Which
okay.
I thought was, he wasn't going to listen to me.
No, of course not. You're a mom.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Talk to you later. We go to Dennis next. Hey, Dennis.
Hi, Zach. How's it going?
Awesome.
Good, good. Yeah, my wife and I are thinking of getting a SUV, like a 7-seater,
mm-hmm.
because of the grandkids and whatnot.
Yep.
And we were looking at the Vera Cruz, so I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
You know what? There are some great deals on those right now because it's being phased out, and there's nothing wrong with that product at all. It's actually probably one of the best values in the 7-seater crossover segment. And Hyundai, as you know, has come way up in terms of quality, and they built some excellent products.
Right.
Now, what's happening is that the Santa Fe is this fall going to be replaced with a new one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then a few months later, they're going to come out with what's called a long wheelbase version, and it's still going to be called Santa Fe. And I think because Santa Fe has a lot better name recognition than Vera Cruz. I think that's what they're doing. They're bringing out the regular 5-passenger Santa Fe, and then they're going to have the 7-passenger Santa Fe, and then just get rid of the Vera Cruz. There's nothing wrong with the Vera Cruz at all. Great product, very inexpensive, and right now, I've driven by a lot recently, and they had them discounted, and I saw an ad in the paper as well. And I think even as you wait a little bit longer, if you're not in a rush, that vehicle might be even discounted a bit more extensively. I think they've got several $1,000s off them right now.
Yeah, we're not in a rush at all, you know. So our little Kia Rio is still going strong. And anyways.
Yeah, so that's an excellent choice. And you get lots of luxury in that for great value. And probably better to buy the all-wheel drive version.
Oh, the all-wheel? Okay.
Yeah, just for resale in the future, someone's going to want that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
We did take one out for a test drive, and we also took a Santa Fe. And I noticed that one big difference between the Vera Cruz and the Santa Fe is the Vera Cruz seemed to be really sluggish off the line. Like, not that I want to race around in it.
Well, it's just probably tuned more for luxury, right?
Yeah.
And that's probably, it might be starting in second gear, which is often the case.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So take it out again. If you don't need it, if it bugs you, don't buy it.
Yeah.
You
one other question about the extra charges. I think you recommend that you shouldn't pay the delivery charge. Or?
No. You have to pay the delivery charge.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's the documentation fees they try to hit you with.
Oh.
So you'll go in the back office and they'll say, okay, Dennis, it's $32,000 for the truck and there's a $500 documentation fee. Well, what's that for? Oh, we charge that to everybody. Yeah, well, you just say, I don't pay that.
Yeah.
And then if they don't want to take it off, then you just go down the road to the next Hyundai dealer.
Exactly.
Okay?
Okay. Okay. And you're in Vancouver, eh?
I am, yeah.
Is that where you saw the Vera Cruz?
Yeah, well, I look at ads in the paper, right? What you should do is monitor the ads they put in the automotive sections. That's where you see all the, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 off, 0% interest. And you can monitor that, and you'll start to see when a really good deal develops.
Oh, okay. Very good. Thanks
a lot,
Dennis.
Zach. Cheers. Okay. Bye-bye. Quick break. Rick Balkin, we spoke about new car sell-off in the first half of the show about how exactly what I'm talking about. When a car comes to the end of its life, dealers want to move these because there's something newer coming in. And often these cars are orphaned. There's nothing wrong with them, but the dealer's got to move them. And sometimes that happens outside of your shopping area. We'll find more about that next and take your calls for the remainder of the show on driving. Hey, and welcome back to the show. Rick Balkin from newcarselloff.com joins us. And Rick, this week we want to talk about how far is somebody willing to go to get a good deal. The premise of your site is that a dealer in one area might have a hard time moving a particular model, but in another area it's very popular. So it's worthwhile for somebody to shop outside of maybe even their province to find a great deal, and your site posts those cars. So how far are people willing to go?
Well, need to watch, Zach. We've had a lot of interest from people, obviously, outside of their immediate shopping areas. We had one instance, a guy from Thunder Bay, Ontario, inquired with a dealer in Alberta about buying a truck that he had on the lot. And then in another instance, we had somebody from Edmonton look to buy a Hyundai out on Vancouver Island. And it just proves the power of a really good deal. If you're prepared to, you know, move a little bit outside of your comfort zone and buy a car over the Internet, and really it's not a big deal because they are brand new, fully warranted cars, you can save a heck of a lot of money.
Yeah, it's not like buying a used car that you really have to see. These are new, so it's like they just rolled. Well, they did just roll off the factory. So, what does it cost, for example? Say you move from one province to another. Say roughly 1,000 kilometers. What will that cost you to ship a car?
Well, roughly it's about $500. So, if you're saving $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 on a car, it's definitely worth it to consider the shipping factor, or even fly out there yourself and grab it and take a road trip and bring the car home. All I know for sure, Zach, is you'll save a lot of money by looking at our site and purchasing a car off of it.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. Someone goes to Vancouver Island for summer holidays, picks up a car and drives it home.
That's right. It's a great idea, actually.
All right. Do you have any specifics this week we can check out, a car that's really got a fabulous deal?
Well, we have the deal of the day here this morning. We have a 2011 Chevy Impala. It's for sale at a dealer in the Lower Mainland. The car originally was $31,600. The dealer's prepared to take another $9,632 off. Roughly 30% of the value, he's prepared to discount this car. And again, the only reason he's looking to sell this car at such a substantial discount is it's last year's model. He needs to move it. So he's prepared to really, really discount this car to get it off his lot.
30% off a brand new car.
That's right.
That's
brand
incredible.
New, fully warranted car, nothing wrong with it, 151 kilometers on it. So
all
it's
right.
Had a few test buys and that's it.
Okay, now when you're on the site newcarselloff.com, don't forget to enter to win the smart car we're giving away on this very program on Canada Day, July 1. So, Rick, thanks a lot for coming on the show, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Zach.
And right back to the phone board, we say hello to Henry. Hey, Henry, what's up?
Oh, hi. Hi, Zach.
Hi.
Hyundai, 07 and up, Santa Fe or Tucson, and what's the gas on that? Is there any much difference? Which is the best buy?
The Tucson will be less in fuel. And around 07, they had the V6 available in the Tucson. But I would suggest the four-cylinder if you're looking for better fuel mileage. The Tucson and the Santa Fe. Santa Fe is bigger, right?
So, that's right. Roomier, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to use more fuel because it's bigger. You've got to lug around the whole structure of the vehicle. But the Tucson is a great product. If you don't need all that space, oh, yeah, it's really good. It's always been one of my favorites. It's always been a good product. I mean, the era you're speaking of, the 07, is not as fancy as the current model, but if you're just looking for good, solid transportation, it'll do the trick. No problem about it. Make sure you get it inspected. Get a mechanic to look at it, because even though it's a good car, you don't know the maintenance that's been done and if there's anything outstanding.
Okay, what are the 8 and the 9s? Are they all about the same then?
Trying to remember when the Tucson changed to the new model. It might have been a 10.
Right.
But, yeah, you'll see when you see the design of it, right, when you look at pictures online or what have you. So the new one, I think, is a 10. So, yeah,
right.
They'll be pretty much the same.
They will, eh?
Okay.
Okay, so the Tucson, for room, the only thing I want is something room, but then again, like you say, it's heavy on the gas.
Yeah, but how much room do you need? I mean, a lot of it is psychological. Do you carry 4 people in it with a whole bunch of luggage regularly? Or is it just you like a bigger car?
No, it's actually the 4 people, like you say, is all I need, really.
Yeah, and take it out. Take it out for a test drive and you see if it'll work. It's not the biggest. I'll give you that. It isn't the biggest, you know, in the compact space.
Oh.
Another one you might want to try is a used Honda CR-V. It's bigger.
CR-V, yeah.
Okay?
And they're more expensive, that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Thanks very much.
Okay. All right. Yeah, cheers. Bye. Bye-bye. We're going to go next and say hello to Billy. Hey, Billy, what's up? Bill, you there? Got stage fright. Ed, do you have stage fright?
No, I don't.
Okay, go ahead.
I have to tell you, Zach, you're bang on with the Honda Civic. I bought a Honda Civic 2000 3 years ago. It's just incredible. I get about 450 kilometers to a tank, if city highway combined.
Yeah, my dad just had a 10-year-old Civic that he traded in and just got a diesel Golf on my suggestion. And, you know, I'm nervous because they say if it better last as well as the whole Honda Civic did, or I'll hear about it. Yeah, my Civic, never had anything wrong with it. So, you know, not that he talks like that, but that's just my generic, you know, dad voice.
Yeah.
So what are you looking at now? Are you going to get another Honda?
Well, I was looking, done some looking at different dealerships and looked at different vehicles, and I've got a son who's 6'5".
That's a problem.
And I want to make sure that he can...
He can take the bus.
Yeah, that's a nice father. So we've gone, and I was shocked, the Elantra and the Sonata. The Elantra fits him at 6'5", very well. Good headroom, good legroom.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked.
It's a good product. And the Civic and the Elantra are going to be in a... It's going to be like the Belmont Stakes next Sunday for the Triple Crown. It's going to be a race to the photo finish as to who is going to have the best-selling car in Canada this year.
Oh,
is it going to be the Hyundai Elantra or the Honda Civic?
And they look good. The Elantra,
yeah.
My brother had a Hyundai Pony 25 years ago.
Yeah. You can't, I mean, things change. Like, I can tell you point blank, 5 years in the auto industry, things change so quickly. You can't think about cars from that era. But I tell you what, the Elantra... has a nicer interior than the Honda Civic. It has a great ride. The engine is very thrifty, which is what I found very enjoyable about the car. Is it got very good mileage, and it's roomy and all those things. Now you can buy what's called the Elantra GT, which is their hatchback, and they're even going to have an Elantra Coupe, and they're arriving any day.
Now, Zach, I'm a huge believer in buying a vehicle once it's proven to be a good vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Buy it about 2 years old,
mm-hmm.
used.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that's come up is that the...
Real quick, I got about 20 seconds.
Okay,
yeah?
The resale value on the Elantra or the Sonata is nowhere near as high as the Honda products. So I don't mind waiting a year or two as long as I like the model.
And get the depreciation and hold on to it.
And get a great deal.
Yeah, and the thing is that Elantra is now coming up on 2 years old, so you're good to go.
Thanks.
Okay, anytime. All right, we're all done. That's it. The show is done. I'm Zach Spencer. Don't forget to go to my website, motormouth.ca. I'll speak to you next week on driving.